Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So in January, a Toronto police officer inadvertently launched a movement when, in talking about crime prevention to a group of students, he said, quote, "Women should avoid dressing like sluts in order not to be victimized," unquote. In April, the first slut walk took place as young women sought to, as they put it, reclaim the word slut by dressing in what's usually called provocative clothing and carrying signs and marching to the police station. Slut walks have spread to over 70 cities worldwide now. There's one planned for New York in October. But not all feminists are donning their fishnets and taking to the streets. The question of whether the word slut can become a source of pride, or if dressing the part just buys into a misogynist culture, is being hotly debated. Rebecca Traister writes about the phenomenon and her ambivalence toward it in this coming weekend's New York Times Magazine. She's the author of Big Girls Don't Cry, The Election That Changed Everything for American Women, and she joins me now. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be back.
What do you like about the slut walk movement first? The sign that said, "Don't tell us how to dress, tell men not to rape"?
Yes, I do love that sign. I love a lot about slut walks. And I wanted to love everything about slut walks. I love that it's a grassroots movement. It's entirely created by young women across the country, some of whom may have never participated in any kind of feminist protest before in their lives, but who are clearly so engaged in questions of victim blaming and a rape culture that they have been moved to take protest to the street. I also love, after years of hearing, I've been writing about feminism and gender for a long time, and you always hear the same thing from both from older feminist activists and from the media, which is that young women don't care about feminism. And I've known this to be not true for a long time. Young women, in fact, are more engaged with feminist discourse than I think they have been for decades, certainly more than when I was in my 20s. I'm 36 now, and feminism was dead to young women when I was 22. And now there's this huge, vibrant feminist community, but it's been invisible to a lot of older people because it's been mostly online. And here's this old-fashioned street protest that's being made visible to everybody. Yeah. So those are the things. And of course, I really value the message, which is a vital one and a righteous one. And it's the message behind the movement is absolutely crucial, especially in this particular moment that we're living through, where issues of rape and assault and sexual power are so at the fore.
And I want to hear the other side from you in just a minute about what makes you uncomfortable about the slut walks. But I do want to apologize and issue the correction that your article appeared in last Sunday's New York Times.
Yes,
it's been out all week. So listeners, even though I didn't see it, maybe you did. And 212-433-WNYC if you want to react. 212-433-9692 for Rebecca Traister. All right, what makes you uncomfortable about the slut walks?
Several things. First of all, this is kind of a meta criticism, I think. When we talk about activism, we have to consider how it's received as well as how it's what the intention behind it was. And especially after having heard for years from an older generation that young women are kind of unserious, oversexed, girls gone wild generation, all of which I've known to be inaccurate because I have seen such a vibrant young feminist community, it is slightly worrying to me that the form of protest that's getting the most media traction, that's getting them the attention, is one in which they're reclaiming the word slut and dressing, you know, provocatively. And I understand what the theater is supposed to mean. I understand what the message is supposed to be. But of course, there is the concern that on some level, the enthusiasm for this particular form of activism confirms inaccurate suspicions, generational suspicions. And then there's actually a concern that I have about some of the I feel like the protests are a little inhospitable to lots of kinds of women. Because there is no dress code, and many critics of my piece have pointed out rightly that lots of women and men show up to these rallies wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants and hoodies and all that. Mm-hmm. But there is the spirit in which a lot of the protesters are dressed in high heels and mini skirts and revealing clothing. And that, along with the rallying around this very electric, very toxic word, slut, I think makes the marches forbidding to all kinds of women who might have cultural, familial, religious reasons why they don't want to march under this particular banner, wearing these particular clothes, or even in a crowd that's wearing these particular clothes. It also plays, it's forbidding to a lot of people with body issues. Young feminists know better than anyone how serious the sort of tyranny of body image misogyny in this country is. Marches where a lot of the people are scantily clad might be really off-putting for all kinds of women who really fully believe in the message but just don't feel comfortable joining in.
Rebecca Traister, my guest on WNYC, talking about her article in the Times Magazine this week about the so-called slut walks and slut walk movements taking place around the country, inspired by an incident in Toronto, Canada, where a police officer kind of inadvertently launched the movement when talking about crime prevention to a group of students. He said, quote, "Women should avoid dressing like sluts in order not to be victimized." That has now produced an international backlash. Jessica in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jessica.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a young woman getting my PhD in philosophy, and my focus is feminism. And I tend to draw my fashion influences from the 1940s and 1950s kind of bombshell look, complete with fishnets and stuff. And I guess that what I want to communicate through the way that I dress is how dressing in an extraordinarily feminine, so-called feminine way, is a performance. And there's a sort of wink-wink attitude, and I don't wear my clothes entirely seriously, that this is not something completely natural, and it's not something that is necessarily for men. So that's one of my thoughts. And the other thought is that one of the dangers of something like the slut walk is having young women around my age equate feminism and politics with I can dress whichever way I want. I can make my own choices, and the content of the choices are not where the politics lies, but the fact of the choice is where the politics lies. And I think that that is actually a little dangerous.
Rebecca?
Well, I think you bring up a lot of interesting points, both pro and con for slut walk. I agree that that's part of the critique, and the very valid critique is that the sort of what other critics have called choice feminism, this notion that somehow what we should be concentrating on is, you know, I can choose to do whatever I want and that equals feminism, is a broader critique of ways in which feminism has gone. Your point about clothes as theater is very interesting because it relates to one of the defenses of slut walks, which is activism as theater. So that these imperfections that you and I are pointing out, and not just imperfections, some deep flaws, actually are kind of obviated slightly by the fact that any form of protest that's going to draw attention is a performance piece, as the clothes that you wear are performance, right? And what we want to do when we make activism in this country is get attention. And so there's there are all kinds of complicated issues when you talk about the effectiveness of public display, of public protest. And in fact, do we lose all these nuanced points and the stuff that you're talking about the deeper politics, because we want to stage a protest that gets everybody's attention and gets us talking on the Brian Lehrer show about slut walks and how women dress and young feminism?
Yeah.
Jessica, thank you very much. Jacqueline and Beth Page, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi there. I'm thrilled to talk to you. I just have a very quick comment. I am a total feminist. I am totally for this. There is no excuse for rape. I've been an artist. I've dressed, you know, out there when I was much younger. But I'm going to give you a quote. I was working with a young black father one day. We were in my car. We were in the middle of Brooklyn, stopped at a light. Across the street walked this stunning young black woman in this totally see-through dress. And I just said, well, she really has the body for it. And he said to me, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm a single father raising two young teenagers. And he said, this is what I tell them. If I see a person dressed as a policeman, I assume it's a policeman. If I see a woman dressed like a hooker, I assume she's a hooker. He said, I tell my children, you dress appropriately when you go out. That's my comment.
Jacqueline, thank you very much. And before I get a response from you, to her, a comment from our comments page that goes in somewhat the same direction. Hazel writes, reclaiming slut is not challenging the status quo. It's joining the overwhelmingly male-dominated status quo. For this 50-plus feminist writing, it's heartbreaking. So taking Jacqueline and Hazel together, do you think there's a generational divide here?
Actually, there is in very broad terms, but on the other hand, just yesterday I got a very angry letter from a feminist, a self-described second-wave feminist in her 60s, who was furious at me for my piece, who thought it was anti-feminist, and I'm, you know, probably 30 years younger than she is, and she is all for slut walks and thinks that my criticism of them is distinctly anti-feminist. So it's Gloria Steinem likes slut walks. There are all kinds of second-wave feminists who are thrilled about slut walks, and what they see is activism that resembles the activism of the 1970s. It's big, broad strokes protests. It's interesting that the callers today are critical of slut walks. I've found up until this moment that much of the criticism of my piece has been in defense of slut walks, and now that there are people calling in and criticizing them, I find myself defending them.
Such is the plight of the ambivalent.
It is the plight of the ambivalent. But the attitude that the earlier caller mentioned, you know, that if somebody is dressed like a hooker, I assume they're a hooker. That is precisely the attitude that we need to deal with intelligently and talk about, but that we also need to resist and point out what's wrong with it. Because who's to say what dressed like a hooker is? I mean, among many other problems of that statement. Women are, you know, a woman in a sweater, a particularly tight sweater, you know, somebody can claim that she's dressed in an alluring fashion, in a provocative way, that she is, that she would be asking for it, that she's asking to be hit on or, you know, further assaulted in some way because of the way that she's dressed. There's no one uniform. A police officer's uniform is a police officer's uniform. The way women are address themselves and how that is interpreted by society, especially a society that objectifies and sexualizes them, mm-hmm. is a much more complicated issue. And so, in fact, while I think we definitely have to talk about those attitudes and the worry that people have about their, you know, their loved ones, about themselves, their own safety, we also really need to challenge that attitude that if a woman is dressed in a certain way, she can expect a certain kind of treatment.
Fabio in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fabio.
Good morning, Brian. Big fan of your show. Thanks. I have to say that I do love to support feminism, but supporting this in the context of it is, I think it's a different issue. It's like saying, all right, why would you dress like that? Common sense says don't walk to certain neighborhood. Me personally, I'm a 26-year-old Latin male. I love to look at that, but like the caller said earlier, if you look like a hooker, I immediately already have a lower opinion of women that I see that will objectify themselves that way. And it's like saying if you dress like that and go through a bad neighborhood that you know has things, like let's say a certain parts of the village, I see them all the time. It's the same way as saying I avoid looking a certain stereotype so that cops don't pull me over, because they do. But if I take certain precautions, I avoid that extra hassle.
I hear what you're saying, Fabio. Thank you very much. And before we get a response to him, Rebecca, let me pair that with the thought that you mentioned Lara Logan in your piece, mm-hmm. the CBS journalist who was viciously attacked in Tahrir Square and later spoke about the attack on 60 Minutes. And it brings up the question of how a slut walk would go over in a country where women have to be veiled to avoid provoking men. You know, we have Fabio talking about certain neighborhoods of New York City on the one hand. We have this on the other hand, the context of certain countries. Does context matter?
Well, no, in the following sense. Of course, context always matters, but in the following way, it doesn't. There is nothing that makes a woman deserve to be assaulted or attacked. Nothing. Not how she dresses, not where she walks, not what neighborhood she's in. And that's something that we absolutely have to get through our heads. That's something we live in a culture that won't accept that, where somebody like Lara Logan, who was attacked in Tahrir Square and was then trashed in Twitter and in media commentary for having been an attention seeker, by some people for having gone to this dangerous place, sort of, you know, a racially inflected piece of hatred there, for having dressed in a certain way. Very recently, there was just an op-ed out of Philadelphia by a man who said, look at how she dresses. This is how, you know, mirroring the last caller who said, what do women expect if they're going to dress this way? That is nuts. And we are living in a world where this is the attitude that's so pervasive, that by dressing a certain way or by walking on a certain street, somehow we're to expect that we're going to be attacked. That's precisely the attitude, the erroneous attitude, the attitude that needs to be fixed, that Slutwalks is trying to address.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure, again, listening to these callers, that this form, I mean, on the one hand, it's making me defensive of the message, but listening to these callers, it also makes me worry more that Slutwalks as a protest activity are not getting that message across.
Yeah, our board is just full of negative callers saying, I see the point, but I think it's counterproductive, of both men and women of all ages calling in to overwhelmingly say that, at least among the people who chose to call in, which doesn't make it a scientific survey. So we're just about out of time. Tell me one thing really quick. We had Peggy Orenstein on the show talking about the princess culture for little girls.
Yes.
And she was very concerned that young women get so much of their sense of self-worth from how they look. Really briefly, does the slut walk movement help fix that in any way? It's certainly
really
the opposite. Yeah, I mean.
Yes, it does both. What it does is get young women talking about the relationship. It gets women talking about these issues that we've been chewing over here. And that's crucial to begin to think. I mean, there are mixed messages there as far as how many protesters dress and the ways in which that is a capitulation to some degree to the ways society wants them to dress anyway, which is provocatively, and encourages them to dress. So it's complicated, but the very fact that these young women, that college students, that high school students, that women in their 20s who might otherwise not be thinking about the sort of the power struggles that they're engaged in, getting them to have this conversation is good. Anything that makes young women, from the ages that Peggy Orenstein is talking about to women in their late teens and early 20s, think about these issues is good for women. Having the conversation is good for all of us,
so
even though it's a difficult one.
When the slut walk movement comes to New York with that march in October, will you be walking?
I will be there. I will be there October 1st, slut walk.
There as a journalist.
I don't know in what capacity I'll be there. I'll be there either participating or covering.
All right. And we will have to leave it there. Rebecca Traister about her article, Ladies, We Have a Problem, in this week's New York Times Magazine. She's a senior writer at Salon and the author of Big Girls Don't Cry, The Election That Changed Everything for American Women. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we finish up today in just a minute with fashion as high culture. We will look for the artistic point in the super popular Alexander McQueen exhibit at the Met.